The University Tower chimes ring in another session of Ask the Professor, the radio show on which you match wits with University of Detroit Mercy professors in an unrehearsed session of questions and answers. I'm your host, Matt Mile, and let me introduce to you our panel for today, dressed like the lime green machine that he is, Professor Jim Tubbs of Religious
Studies.
Yeah,
that's me, the lime green machine. Hello, Matthew.
Looking good. How is that orange dream, by the way?
Actually, very nice? Good. It's not as orange as your shirt, but it's pretty orange.
I try to lime orange machine? No, I guess orange is already a citrus fruit. I don't know.
Yeah.
Trying to explain.
We don't need to over-citrify it.
Yeah, exactly. Who knows what else might enter the room. Good to see you, though, Jim. Things have gone well for you this summer?
Yeah, so far so good. The summer's flying by way too fast.
Yes.
But other than that...
Yes, after August 1st, it always
feels been a nice one. And this spate of September-like weather has been very nice, too.
That's right. It feels a little October-y outside.
Yeah, it does.
It really does. I'll take it, by the way. I love that kind of weather, but that's just me. Professor Diane Manica, how has your summer gone?
It's busy, 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 busy.
Good.
But enjoying the Tigers.
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm.
Enjoying the Tigers.
They are steamrolling right now. Big time.
Even the drum in Cincinnati is not bothering me. I mean, in Cleveland is not bothering me right now. That guy that sits up there has a name,
gosh.
And they call his name on television.
Oh, God,
and I have not learned it, and I'm not going to.
You're not going to, right. Mm. I know the ninth inning, they could be down 100-1, and that person's like, come on, Indians.
I know.
Like,
you know, I mean, really.
Hang on. Up, buddy, go home.
Yeah, I know. But what do we know? We're still just trying to eke it out. If we can keep that much of a lead over the one team that's going to threaten us the most hardcore.
If we can just keep going and grinding out one game after another the way we've been for the last 10.
Yes, keep it going, guys.
It's absolutely
keep it
wonderful.
Going. Yep, and I got to give props to American League Central. We got these three teams doing very, very well right now. Mm-hmm. Royals look pretty good, too, so... Professor Dave Chow, I don't know if we've ever crossed paths on the area of baseball, but no. Are you a fan?
I love baseball.
Okay, that's great.
My second favorite sport.
After hockey.
After hockey.
Yeah. I throw football, and then once football season rolls around.
Okay,
so
American football?
And the National Football League. I am a masochist.
Okay.
I follow that certain team. And That will go nameless for now.
Honolulu Blue.
It will go nameless for now.
Unbelievable.
And they start Friday.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
But they already sold out. This is what the Free Press reported this morning.
I went online trying to find individual tickets for games throughout the year.
Good luck.
Boy, it's tough. And they have gone up.
Yes, they have.
They have gone up significantly.
Even after a crap season.
I looked for the cheapest ones I could find, and I was discouraged.
I think the minor league baseball tour.
Oh, yeah, sure.
The West Michigan Saints. Whitecaps, the Lansing Lugnuts, Toledo Mudhens.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Love those games.
Very cool.
Dirt cheap, too.
Folks, this is a program where you can send us questions regarding anything. Sports used to be off limits for these profs. Now, bring it on.
What?
If you stump the panel, you can win one of our prizes. You can send the questions to us in a number of ways. You can email us at atp@udmercy.edu. You can reach us on the web at udmercy.edu/atp. You can fax the profs at 313-993-1166 or send the questions USPS to the College of Liberal Arts and Education, University of Detroit Mercy, 4001 West McNichols Road, Detroit, Michigan, 48221-3038. When last we left our panel, we were finishing up some wonderful questions from longtime listener, just rediscovering us, Laura Benson, Missoula, Montana. We had a couple more from this hodgepodge to cover, and let's see if you guys can hit them up here. What famous festival takes place in the Black Rock Desert in late August every year?
Is it Coachella or Burning Man?
Burning Man is what it says here. It's the one where they make the giant figure out of wood and straw
and what have
you.
And they torch it.
They dance, all night long. It's an interesting. I was trying to say, it's not exactly a popular. I mean, it is popular, actually, but it's off the beaten path just a little bit.
Yeah. Didn't they stop burning it because wasn't there something environmentally they were scorching the earth or something like that, if I remember right?
Did not hear about
that. Sounds rather druidic.
Yeah, it is.
What actress was born Patsy Ann McClenney in 1950? She changed her name for stage and screen.
Patsy.
Let's see. Initials MF. Trying to think.
Comedic?
Semi-comedic. I mean, she was most popular, I feel, during the 70s and 80s. this is so sad, but the first thing that comes to my Generation X mind is that she was in a couple Muppet movies. I'm sorry. It's Morgan Fairchild. Is who it is.
Oh, Morgan Fairchild.
Yeah, Patsy Ann McClenny. How come you didn't stick with it? I don't know.
Well, do you remember the John Lovitz thing? Yeah, Saturday Night Live. You know, my wife, Morgan Fairchild.
Yes.
Awesome. Oh, here's another lifer. We are so lucky to have Frank Burrows from Valencia, California, writing to us today. I was pleasantly surprised recently when my summer hiatus questions made it to the air in June, when I was owned by the panelists, in quotes. Rather than sit on my laurels, lick my wounds, and other metaphors for being a slacker, I'm sending in more questions. Masochist. Here are 20 more to keep the panelists on edge and keep the show moving along. 80% passing grade seems to be the standard, so I'll adhere to it. I have no idea when these will be read. How about right now?
How about right now?
But look forward
to
them being aired. Frank Burrows of Valencia, California. Warmest greetings from Valencia.
Hmm.
Seems a little warm out there.
Valencia.
What cultural icon / brand name was developed by the Washburn Crosby Company in 1921?
Washburn Crosby.
Yes. Not necessarily a person, but a person's name associated with a red spoon. Is that ringing
any Pillsbury. Name? No, Betty Crocker.
Betty Crocker. Betty Crocker. Is who it was. Yeah. Yes, Betty Crocker. Yep. What television character was partnered up with the likes of Ben Romero, Ed Jacobs, Frank Smith, and Bill Gannon?
Oh, Dragnet. What was Bill Gannon? That was played by Harry Morgan. Who's Dragnet?
Jack Webb.
Jack Webb.
What was his?
Oh, Lieutenant.
I can see him.
Oh, yeah.
Same name of the day of the week, right?
Friday.
Joe Friday. Detective Sergeant Joe Friday. Wow, you worked all the way through it there. That was great. That was great.
Gannon was the only one that gave it away for me. Those others, what?
On a previous show taping, I mentioned this person, so we'll see if you can make the connection. Who graduated with a BFA from Tulane in 1965, a JD from Northwestern in 1968, helped with the RFK campaign, and joined with the Frost Jacobs Law Firm before he became mayor of a major Midwestern city?
Midwest.
And
oh, boy.
Ascended to talk show fame.
Oh,
Jerry Springer.
Jerry Springer did all those things.
Really?
That's pretty wild, huh? Pretty wild. BFA, so that's a Bachelor of Fine Arts. Must have been an actor who
Wonder
then went on to law
art
school.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
Hmm. The mouthing arts.
He's probably an illustrator. I'm in trouble.
Is that he on the air anymore? I don't even know.
Oh, yes.
I
mean,
is he?
Unreal.
Oh, he's still.
I don't know who.
Yeah.
Wasn't the bald-headed gentleman, doesn't he have his own show now, too?
Montel?
No. The guy on Jerry Springer, the guy that always break up the chair fights.
Oh, wow.
Steve Wilkos.
Oh, my gosh. Oh,
I have no idea. I think he's got his own show now.
Wow, why don't I have my own show? Seriously.
Give it time.
Who wrote the theme music for Johnny Carson's Tonight Show?
Do, 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 yeah, we all know the song. Do, 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 do. Like a Perry Como?
You're in the wheelhouse. You're in the wheelhouse. Initials P-A.
Paul Anka?
Paul Anka wrote that song.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A lot of them.
It's even more of a jingle, really, than a song, you know?
I want to know the words.
Oh. This is the theme to
The Tonight Show.
Exactly. What was considered the first flip phone, cell phone that opened up? Remember what it was called?
It was probably a Motorola.
You're absolutely right. I'm giving it to you. It's the MicroTac is what it was called, but getting the company is a really big deal.
Well, they were the ones who made cell phones back in the day. You know?
I mean, they were. Absolutely. At what age did Grace Kelly formally retire from acting?
27?
26. I'm giving it to you.
Wow.
Holy
Good
smokes.
For you.
But yeah, she did.
Because she was
not
24
to...
when she did The Country Girl.
Okay.
Wow.
And won an Oscar for it.
That makes sense.
So when did she get married?
56.
No. How old was she when she got married?
Yeah, I mean, it must be around that time, right?
It was the next year. Yeah, so she was 27 when she got married, I guess.
Yep. There you go. What famous military man once opined, in war, just as in loving, you've got to keep shoving.
Patton.
Patton, yeah, that lines up.
What a George Patton. What a hopeless romantic.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. What kind of animal is nicknamed a boomer? It actually corresponds to a specific gender of that animal, a male version of this animal.
A kangaroo?
A kangaroo, yes, absolutely. Mm. I think that's the nickname in the bush for kangaroos. Who portrayed Maid Marian in the 1938 movie The Adventures of Robin Hood? I want to say that would have been Errol Flynn. I could be wrong.
Not Maureen O'Hara.
Initials are O to H.
Olivia de Havilland.
Yeah, there you go.
O to H?
O to H. There you go. That's the best clue I got for right now. What athletic shoe company was founded in Malden, Massachusetts? Malden. All I can think
Converse.
Of is, yeah, it was Converse. Okay. Yeah. All I can think of is Carl Malden, you know?
Mm-hmm. The
ugliest shoes ever. You know,
the streets of San Francisco.
Carl Malden. Wingtips.
Yeah.
Big wingtips.
Yeah, exactly. What fast food company has a sandwich right now called the Ultimate Angus? Seems almost.
Oh, is it Burger King?
Not Burger King.
McDonald's? Angus. Not McDonald's.
Not McDonald's. No.
Wendy's?
Not Wendy's.
Mm.
They're around here, I can tell you that.
Angus.
Most often when you go there, you get the roast beef.
Oh, Arby's.
Arby's.
Arby's. Just remember the joke from Seinfeld about, where did you guys go to lunch today? Arby's. I had the roast beef. What else do they have there? They have anything else? I don't understand.
Well, they do have a new logo now. I mean,
that's true. No. What are the two states, there are two in the United States, that don't have any Arby's? Okay. They're both on the same side of the country.
We
the
can eliminate Michigan
side.
Because we have them.
We do have them. So we've got
two states that have no Arby's.
They're both on the eastern side.
Rhode Island
is one of them. That is correct.
Why no Rhode Arby's. Island, Jim?
Why?
Because it's just too small.
It's too small. Too remote.
It's the size of Southfield. Dang
we
it.
Don't have a land mass.
And the other one a little bit north of Rhode Island, or maybe quite a bit north.
Vermont?
Vermont. Yes, wow. That is correct. Why would Vermont need one? You know?
Jim, well, you're on your own, buddy.
Oh, my gosh. On December 3rd, 1973, what NFL team was the first to start an African-American quarterback? Good piece of NFL trivia. Ooh. Let's see if you can guess the team and, you know.
Like the Rams, name. Maybe?
No, it wasn't the Rams.
73.
I hear it's called the Birmingham of America.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Steelers. Do you remember who it was?
Oh, where's Jason when we need him?
Yeah.
Oh, he would know this for sure. Oh, for sure.
No idea. I was
Joe Gilliam is what it says here. December 3rd, 1973.
Like, who's that other?
Didn't he become a coach?
Oh, yeah, he might have. Yeah.
I think he did.
No, because I was thinking Doug Williams for, was it Washington at one point? But nope, okay.
This is a little bit of a trick question, but I like it. who is the only, let's take the question at face value, Pittsburgh Steeler to have his number retired? There is only one.
Well, like a Terry Bradshaw.
It wasn't Terry Bradshaw.
Franco Harris.
Nope, number 70.
Oh, again, where's Jason when we need him?
Yeah.
I like the way this question is framed because I know some teams have a tradition, older teams.
Yeah, don't they have
NFL.
Like a ring of honor? You know, but they don't have, but they don't retire.
There's only one person who's ever been able to do it. It's Ernie Stautner. Although retired players, Gary Anderson, Terry Bradshaw, Franco Harris, Jerome Bettis, Mike Webster, Jack Lambert, Jack Ham, Dermonte Dawson, Joe Green, and Hines Ward will no longer allow other players to wear their numbers. So they're not retired, but they're also not used numbers. So they think this guy was so important.
I thought that's what retired meant.
I thought so too.
No longer assigned to anybody else.
Who knows? Who supposedly fathered three children named Lamprocles, Sophroniscus, and Menexenus?
This sounds like a Beth question.
It does sound like a Beth question.
Plato.
Not Socrates. Plato, but it was Socrates. Socrates.
Okay. Okay. It is a Beth question.
Socrates.
Mr. Socrates, yes.
What is the name of the horse that won the first Kentucky Derby? And what year did that
Lucky?
Take place?
Lucky?
No, it's actually I believe I'm seeing a little bit of a trend here. It's a Greek sort of name. Mm-hmm. Starting with the letter A.
Aristophanes?
No.
Athena? Aristotle.
No. Aristides was the name of the horse.
Aristides.
But what year was the
1906.
First? 1906. It was way further back.
Oh,
really?
1846.
1875 was the first Kentucky Derby. May 17th.
They've been running
that long. That old.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Juleps crazy. Have been around for a long time.
Yeah. What famous American novelist, who was well into his late 60s at the time of the bombing of Pearl Harbor, became one of World War II's oldest war correspondents? Very famous American novelist. I know he wrote lots of things, but most people know him for having written Tarzan.
Oh, Edgar Rice Burroughs.
Yes, that is correct. He was a World War II correspondent. It's pretty interesting. I don't know if I ever knew that before.
I didn't know that.
Who was the first TV writer to have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame? You can probably figure this out. The writer. It was so original, he needed a star.
I was going to say, like Mel Brooks?
Not Mel Brooks.
A writer.
Jack Benny.
The key here is that it's a TV writer. Specifically started in television, not on the big screen.
Oh.
The little screen. Initials G.R. Very well known for a property that still exists to this day and is popular.
I was thinking Gene Reynolds from MASH. Nerds.
A property well loved by nerds. Okay, you guys think about that while we take a break. And we are back with some warm, warm questions from Frank Burroughs of Valencia, California. We are pondering, who's the first TV writer to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, initials G.R.? Let's see. So
Gene Rayburn, Grand Rapids, Grand River.
You're doing pretty good. The property just had a movie come out this summer, directed by J.J. Abrams, that was a re-envisioning of his original vision.
Gene Roddenberry
of Star Trek fame, absolutely. So that's kind of interesting that they thought what he was doing was so cool he got a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Wow. Yeah.
But I'm wondering, but didn't he also write for other shows prior to Star Trek?
It's possible. Yeah. Yep, that's what gave him his boost to get the show made. What actress gave a young Burt Reynolds his first on-screen kiss in 1969? Initials A.D. I'll tell you the name of the movie. I've never heard of this before. Sam Whiskey was the name of the movie.
So I was thinking Sally Field.
Angie Dickinson,
indeed.
Way to go.
Didn't she give everyone their first on stage kiss?
I think it was mine too. Oh.
Presidents, actors.
We had some great questions here, Frank, and we'll wrap things up with this one. Who invented a device that he called the Thanatron?
Oh, Jack Kevorkian.
Absolutely. Based on the Greek word for death. The death machine, yes.
Thanatos.
Thank you so much.
Wow, way to go, Uncle Jack.
And we know a lot about Jack Kevorkian growing up around here.
Actually, I was living in Royal Oak at the time when he was, practice. My roommate actually got into a car accident with him once. Stepped out of the car, and Dr. Jack stepped out. Do you need a doctor? Took one look. No.
Oh, my gosh. Not that kind of
doctor. No, it's okay. I'm walking.
Wow. Well, here we go. We got our new set of questions. Dear profs, once again, I'm submitting questions to test your trivia knowledge. Topicality is always my objective. Thus, given Detroit's fairly recent bankruptcy filing, I thought it would be apropos to challenge you with questions concerning famous people who went bankrupt.
Ooh. I thought it was going to be math.
Mm-hmm. Oh. To avoid being sued for defamation, I've limited the questions to only dead people.
Their states are coming after us.
7 questions, 5 is passing. My address is below. Hopefully I'll stump you this time and get that lovely UDM prize I've coveted my entire life.
Alan Ira
of Woodland Hills, California. Thank you very much, Alan. We'll see how the bankruptcy proceedings go here. 3 U.S. presidents filed for bankruptcy. Who were they? He is giving direct sources from the internet to back these questions up, so this is pretty good.
Well, okay.
I was thinking Jefferson, because he was always on Jefferson?
Perhaps? No, Jefferson was not one of them.
Didn't he almost sell Monticello?
None of them are modern era presidents, that much I can tell you.
Yeah, because they got pensions after about, after about Grant.
Yeah. Washington, perhaps?
Probably.
Grant may have been one of them.
Grant was definitely.
Yeah, because he had to write his memoirs to leave his family any money.
Leave them any money. And 2 presidents earlier.
Let's see, Johnson, Lincoln.
Lincoln was one of the other ones.
Declared bankruptcy?
Declared bankruptcy. That's what it says here. And one of our many presidents who had his life threatened while in office. Not one of the more popular ones, but still an interesting. WM are the initials.
William McKinley?
McKinley.
He didn't have his life threatened. He had his life taken.
Yeah, his life taken. Well, it was threatened for a short while, and then it was taken. Yeah.
Here's a gun. Boom.
Oh. Leon Czolgosz.
Again, after he died, he filed for bankruptcy. No, I'm just making that up. Not true. Name the American singer-songwriter who filed for bankruptcy in 1976. Recorded probably his most beautiful and well-known album only a few hundred yards from where we sit right now.
Marvin Gaye?
Marvin Gaye went bankrupt. Pretty interesting. 1976. That would have been after all of his big songs. So weird. So weird. Let's see. For the record, not that we're making fun of you, Dion, but the website source is hellobeautiful.com/soul singer Dion Warwick files for bankruptcy plus 10 other celebs who did the same. What am I going to find at that website? Name the founder of General Motors who filed for bankruptcy during the Great Depression.
Oh,
Durant?
Durant.
Yep. William Crapo, sometimes known as Crapo. Durant. Yes, absolutely. Speaking of autos, here's a true or false. Henry Ford filed for bankruptcy.
I would.
He may have before.
I don't know. I know he probably ran threadbare, but I would say no. Come on.
Consensus.
I cast my vote.
You know what he did?
Oh.
In 1901, it was personal. It's personal.
Oh, okay.
And those who are like my wife who work for the Henry Ford Archival Museum know that it took him, I think, 6 or 7 times to boot up a company that actually took off.
Wow.
He kept getting investors interested. He would put out a product, and then it would just all fall apart. So he would just have to keep doing it over and over and over to get it going. I want at least 5, but it could have been even more than that to get the Ford Motor Company up and running. What famous artist filed for bankruptcy in 1656? Wow. I wonder what the laws were like back then.
1656. Rembrandt?
It was Rembrandt. Yeah. Yes. Rembrandt actually filed
I think I remember that from the exhibit, the Rembrandt the Faces of Christ here.
That's right. That's right. Name the former Texas governor who filed for bankruptcy in 1986. I'm not familiar with this name. Standard men's name that starts with the letter J.
John Connolly?
John Connolly is who it was. Yes, absolutely. Hmm. Now, what was the deal with that? Do you remember anything?
Well, he has the, I think he has still has the record for the most money spent in a presidential campaign per vote received.
Wow. that's not a good record.
No.
Which 14th century English king also filed for bankruptcy? According to the website, wipeoutyourbills.com. 14th century English king.
14th.
He was the second of somebody.
Richard the second.
No, it was Edward the second.
Oh, Edward the Confessor.
Edward the Confessor.
Too much time confessing. That was the problem.
Edward the Spender.
Yes.
Obvious we were going to have an issue. Thanks again for those wonderful questions, Alan. We like it when they come with a theme and not 500 questions on Saved by the Bell, you know, that sort of thing. All right, what do we got cooking here? The professors were back in the studio to record new episodes during the summer. What treachery is this?
Very warm
like
treachery.
Other well-heeled educators skipping off campus after the last day, drinking cognac in tweed jackets.
Not in the summer.
No, not
mint juleps, maybe, but
yeah.
Not cognac.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Seeing as how they're back in the studio, I feel compelled to come up with more questions now. Please enjoy, as I also had a hoot coming up with them. Amazing what a random Wikipedia button uncovers.
Oh,
an
yeah.
Arbitrary 80% is passing. Sincerely, Rachel Ralston of Norwalk, Iowa. Let's see what happens when you press random in Wikipedia. A lot of fun, by the way, if you're ever really, really, really bored and not listening to our show.
Insomniacs.
Exactly. We all know Harrison Ford played Dr. Richard Kimball in the movie The Fugitive, but who did Tommy Lee Jones portray?
The Marshal.
Right. What was his name?
Oh. Lieutenant Philip Gerard.
It was Sam Gerard. That's pretty good.
Well, in the TV show, it was Philip Gerard.
Oh, okay.
The relentless pursuit of Lieutenant Philip
from
Gerard.
From the voiceover, that's right. It says here, actually, Chief Deputy Marshal Samuel Gerard. Yeah, there you go.
They changed that a little bit.
Just a little.
Who are the Apollo astronauts that were the first to see the far side of the moon and the planet Earth as a whole? Apollo 8 had 3 astronauts.
Ooh.
FB, JL, and WA.
Frank Borman.
Frank Borman, yes.
And what were the other initials?
Yeah.
JL.
John Lovell.
Lovell.
Yep, Jim Lovell.
Lovell.
And WA. You guys are good. That's 66% than I would have gotten. WA is William Anders, is what it
Anders.
Has.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. In what city did Led Zeppelin make their U.S. debut?
Wyoming, Colorado.
It was in Colorado.
Denver?
Denver, Colorado is where Led Zeppelin made their big debut. It's kind of interesting. What is the name of Mighty Mouse's girlfriend? It's definitely a character I don't think I could talk to my kids about. I don't think they was know who like, Mighty Mouse is.
Not Pure Heart, Purebred, or...
Pure Heart, yeah. What was her first name? Same as a precious gem of the ocean.
Pearl.
Pearl Pure Heart. Absolutely. I remember the controversy about Mighty Mouse when I was growing up. He had got the flower from the girl and crushed it in his hand and then inhaled so deeply to smell it, the powder went up his nose, and they just assumed he was doing hard drugs in a cartoon.
Yep.
I'm like, really?
It's John Kay.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting stuff. Who was the first American who made $1 billion, the first billionaire in the history of America?
Oh, Rockefeller.
It's not Rockefeller.
Vanderbilt. Oh, really?
No.
Ford?
It was Ford, it says. Really? It was America's first billionaire. Absolutely. Huh. Everybody watched that biopic that was on earlier in the summer with John Stoudemire making commentary?
Yeah, but the previous one had referred to Rockefeller as the first billionaire.
Really? Yes. Interesting. Okay.
Because they did Vanderbilt, Rockefeller, and Ford.
There you go.
That series.
There you go.
And Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie.
And Carnegie makes sense for steel, sure. Who was the first U.S. president to leave the country while he was still in office?
Roosevelt?
Wasn't Roosevelt. It says he took a trip to international waters for fishing 3 miles offshore. Who keeps track of this stuff?
Keep going a little further.
Probably Grant?
No, it wasn't Grant. You're sort of in the wheelhouse. Hmm. Sort of in the wheelhouse. I always use this as the clue because it's hilarious. I believe Grandpa Simpson on The Simpsons once said that this president may or may not have spanked him on two non-consecutive occasions.
Tyler.
No. Grover Cleveland.
Cleveland.
Yes. That's right.
Yes, absolutely. Cleveland, sure. Hey, it's the first president who's left the United States. You know, let's write this down.
That's hard to believe.
That's really weird. I mean, where was he? Northern Minnesota? I don't get
it. No, probably out in the Gulf Stream.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Off the eastern coast of the U.S. Sense. People do it all the time.
Mm-hmm. What long-running TV show signed off March 28th, 1971? Very, very famous TV show. Variety show. Do we even have those?
Smothers Brothers?
Not Smothers Brothers.
Ed Sullivan?
Ed Sullivan.
Ed Sullivan.
How many years did the Eiffel Tower hold the record of being the tallest human-made structure on the planet? How many years did
Where's Mark Neymark when we need him?
Oh, man. We're going to have to wait to figure out the answer to that one. But first, let's say goodbye, Professor Chow.
See ya.
Professor Manica.
Bye now.
Professor Tubbs.
Sayonara.
Email your questions to atp@udmercy.edu. Or you may fax them to 313-993-1166. Attention, ask the professor.
Ask the Professor is transcribed in the facilities of the Briggs Building in the Department of Communication Studies in the College of Liberal Arts and Education at the University of Detroit Mercy's McNichols campus. Ask the Professor is produced and technically directed by Michael Jason, and our executive producer is Dr. Vivian Dix. Until next week, I'm your host, Matt Mile.